Yeah, completely fine.
Okay.
It's great. It feels like that guy from the Craig Ferguson show got another gig.
He's rather
just,
definitely
just hanging out. He's doing his Peaky Blinders season. He's got a three show deal this season.
I thought he was Ecky Thump from The Goodies.
Oh, yeah. Ecky Thump.
I used to love Ecky Thump.
Yeah, one of the greatest things ever. I reckon that would have hurt a lot of children across the world because after you'd watched that, you would just beat up your mates.
Yeah.
And they'd beat you up in just joy.
I didn't realize, it wasn't until I was older. Because, you know, we all watched The Goodies when we were little kids.
Mm.
And then you get older and you realize it's a commentary on how big martial arts had gotten.
Mm.
But, you know, there's also in England that whole kind of, oh no, we don't want any foreign things coming in.
Right, yeah.
So it was trying to make a British martial arts.
Yeah, yeah. So funny.
So, Ecky Thump. Yeah, ridiculous. Ridiculous behaviour.
There's a few episodes that I can watch that I can still really enjoy, and then the others it's like, oh, it's not as good as I remembered.
I've just
changed.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen it as an adult. I mean, I'm talking about late teens. Like, you know, when start to have critical thinking about things, when you start to look beneath the surface of things. Speaking of which, have you seen London Spy?
Oh, hang on. I want to know which one was your favourite.
Which what?
Goodies.
Oh, which Goodies? I liked Tim.
Of course you did. Of course you did. I'd already, in my head, I knew the answer before I worked out what the question was.
Like, because, you know, like, I'm weirdly prudish sometimes. And really, you know, like that whole thing with the A string, you know, which was the G string, but higher to cover up his belly button.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the Union Jack on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the weird Queen obsession.
Yeah.
I loved Tim.
Yeah. Yes, you did. What do you reckon?
Your favourite?
Yeah.
I want to say Bill Oddie, but I think it was Graham Garden.
No, it was Bill Oddie.
It was Bill Oddie?
Yeah.
Still? Do you love the nature? Do you love birds the way Bill Oddie loves? Oh, what am I talking about? I've seen your Instagram feed. It's all animals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's been fun. It's just a dumb little thing to do.
Where do they come from? Or do you get animals sent to you every day?
No, I just kind of find them and see which one kind of expresses my mood. There was that really... Someone sent me the one of the poor British guard passed out.
Oh, that was funny.
And that made me laugh so much. So it's kind of fun to... What I like about that is it's other people's work and all you do is just add just a mild bit of context.
Yeah.
But not too much.
Not enough.
Just enough that people can project whatever they want to think.
Because, yeah, the passed out guard was... That was like Tuesday following a public holiday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because Tuesday's the hardest day of the week already.
Today's was a great Dane licking a kitten's face.
Oh, so cute. And the kitten's just like putting up with it. Like,
what are you doing?
Do I have to?
Now, if anyone said to me, what does that mean? I would have to say, I reckon it probably means that dog is licking that kitten a bit too much. I would take it very literally.
Also,
but other people might read more into it.
A great Dane could eat a kitten. Oh, the kitten is fearless.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a fearless kitten.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love it. I love it.
Kitten's just like, oh, God, this enormous dog. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Okay, that dog could fit all of you in its mouth.
Yeah, it really could. My God. That's a sequel. Sequel picture where it turns into a horror movie that no one asked for.
So, anyway. So, have you seen London Spy?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I shouldn't talk about it then. it's got Ben Whishaw and it's got weird, like the weirdest guest stars you've ever seen.
Right.
Like at one point, Lester from The Wire turned up and I'm like, oh, he's going to be someone amazing. And he's like in it for like 4 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Like, where's Lester gone?
Right.
And you know, so yeah, it's just the oddest, like Harriet Walter is in it for a little while.
So I'm not even quite certain what it is. Is it a series or a movie?
It's like a five or six episode British thing, a BBC thing, I think. Oh. I don't know. It turned up on Netflix. And Ben Whishaw is like a party animal gaybo. I think it's about a year old, man.
Oh, right. I haven't even heard of it before. That's really exciting.
Yeah. And so he's a gay boy and falls in love with this guy and then turns out he's a spy. And so then it's all about uncovering, the spy business. But it just...
Right.
As... It, it just felt transparent to me. Like all the relationship stuff, all the real world stuff felt very real. Like very, and then, but all this espionage and spy stuff felt completely like disconnected.
Right.
There's this weird shit with Charlotte Rampling that just completely is bizarre.
Right.
And yeah, and it just felt like someone who had been jilted, or, you know, he was seeing someone who turned out not to be the person he thought he was.
Right.
Like, on the writer. Like, I think the writer was seeing someone who turned out not to be who he thought he was.
Oh, right.
So he has written this thing, and rather than accept the reality of, you know, my boyfriend turned out to be an asshole, has created this
a real reason.
Yeah, this whole labyrinth of bizarre. So, and that's why I've always, like, I just kept tripping over every time there was anything that required a suspension of disbelief for spy business.
Right.
I just went, nah, that doesn't feel real. That doesn't feel real. This all feels like wish fulfillment.
Right.
On behalf of someone who just cannot come to terms with the fact that their ex is an asshole.
Right.
And I don't know, like, you know, when you read too much into something, and I thought, I kept...
Have you checked it out? Have you checked the theory out?
No, I haven't read anything about it. Like, I just watched it on the weekend while I was working. So it was just a, you know, a thing. So it's just, yeah, I don't know. But it was one of those things where I just went, because it was so, like, all the real life stuff was so compelling.
Right.
But the other thing was, like, I watched it with Donna, my mate Donna, who was here on the weekend, and she fell asleep during the first episode.
Right.
When they're on a picnic. And I rang Michelle, and my sister, and I said, have you watched this? She goes, oh, yeah, I watched the first episode, and I fell asleep when they're at the picnic. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's a gay thing.
Right.
Maybe only gay, like the only people I've heard say it was amazing were other gays.
Right.
Because it's, you know, it's the main character's a gay. Like, it's a very, you know, there's a whole AIDS storyline thing going on. There's a, you know, it's a very gay story.
Right.
And I thought, oh, maybe that's why everyone loves it. Because there's gay characters. And actually, it's not that good.
Right. Oh, that's great.
We're just going, oh, look, it's the gays.
Right.
We'll give it a pass.
Yeah. So you're doing what the show is doing, which is one big wish fulfillment.
Yes.
You're like an Escher cartoon.
Yeah. I almost wanted it to get to I don't want to spoil too much, but I wanted that to be a reveal.
Right.
At some point that, oh, yeah, none of this was true. I just made it all up, or it was all just in my head. But then, you know, they were going so hard on the spy stuff. I'm like, oh, no, I think he's meant to be a spy. Right. Like, it's, yeah.
Well, it's kind of fascinating if that's its intent.
I know. Like, I think it was just, you know, meant to be read on that one level. And I was... Yeah, I don't know. It just felt like... It did feel like wish fulfillment for someone who just could not believe that they had bad taste in men.
Right. That's a funny thing to... I think it's a funny idea. If it's a... Is it played for laughs?
No.
Oh, right.
It's so fucking doer. It's just... It's very British.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, it's always raining. It's very... Like, you know, you've got Jim Broadbent in it, and even he doesn't get any laughs. And he's got, like, you know, that's the other thing. There are some gorgeous scenes. There's, like, a beautiful... Jim Broadbent has some amazing moments as an aging gay man who lived in the closet for so long and had to deal with, you know, an industry that wouldn't allow him to be out. Like, it's, you know, there's some great stuff in it. But, yeah. I think that's the problem, is that some of it was so good.
Right.
That when it went to Loopy Lala Spyland.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when it got, you know, all the, you know, the Hitchcock MacGuffin stuff. Whenever that started coming into it, you were just like, nah, I don't believe any of this shit.
You just would have been happy if it was just a relationship series.
Yeah. But then I kind of feel like maybe that's the current climate we live in, where just a relationship series can't get up anymore unless it's set in the past.
Or there's superheroes.
Or there's superheroes or spies. Or speaking of, Clever Man.
Oh, yeah, right.
I've only watched the first two.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Yeah. great, right?
Casting is amazing.
Oh yeah,
cast, and also like every like I know everyone's wife who's in it. like Rove's wife's in it.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
I interviewed her for my podcast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
She's fun, great. Isn't she?
Yeah, fantastic.
And Tony, who do you remember, Dummy End that I used to live with in Clifton Hill?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Tony, who is the dad of the you know in the prison ones.
Mm.
Yeah, he's you know. He and Dummy Ann have got like 412 children together.
Right.
But yeah, so it's like, I know everyone's husband and wife in the
right,
Clever Man.
Right, it's funny. I think the casting has been spot on. I think you're completely correct. I love Deborah Mailman.
She's great.
Like, she was so fantastic.
And very not the sort of character she plays as well.
Oh, yeah. And like
just, even physically, she looks different.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I've really enjoyed seeing Andrew McFarlane and Marcus Graham.
Wills!
Yes. Wills. You'll always be Wills to me, Marcus Graham. That should be the name of one of my autobiographies.
Just after, I'm flattered by your insult. I'm flattered by your insult. That has to be your next book.
That'll be the sequel, but I'll put it out first. Just to confuse people, keep them on their toes.
Ian Glenn is great. The only one, and I have a problem. Like when Gary and I were watching it, and Gary's gone, oh, look at that background. That's keyed badly because all he can see is special effects because that's what he does.
Right.
He's like, oh, that's terrible graphics. And I'm like, oh, God, look at Frances O'Connor's face.
What?
Because she looks younger now than she did 20 years ago.
Oh,
and then there was a scene of her elbows. Like, her elbows were out, and I was like, look at her elbows! Wrinkly old woman elbows!
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Like, she's had good work done. Like, it looks amazing.
Oh, yeah, I thought she looked fantastic.
She does.
Yeah.
But look at her elbows.
All right.
She's got the elbows of someone twice her age.
Oh, my God. Look at her elbows can be the name of your autobiography.
Far but right. That's what I like. Tasma looks like, you know, her age. Tasma looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like she's got, her face has got great character. She's a fucking brilliant actress.
Yeah.
But, you know, whereas Frances O'Connor, there's just, you know, she's got a weird kind of Joker smile thing going on.
Oh, no, don't say that. I kind of know what you mean, but yeah.
There's just a,
yeah.
Like, remember she used to have kind of a more doughy sort of face?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now, there's something, I don't know.
I don't know.
I can't really pick on people with my gigantic fat round head when speaking about doughy. But,
you know, I saw an interview with Kate Beckinsale, who was so fucking funny, and it really took me by surprise.
Oh, is that the Graham Norton one?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michelle, my sister was saying that. She said, I want to hate her, but she was glorious.
Yeah, she was legitimately tight as a comedian. She was funny. She is quite clearly left of center. You know, that crazy story about how she just, you know, carries a horse outfit around and dresses up in it in certain places to cheer herself up. And then I read that article about sometimes to make her 17-year-old daughter laugh, she sends naked photos of her dad, Martin Sheen, doing dumb things.
Sheen. What's his name? Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen, sorry. Yeah. So how funny is that?
Yeah, like, hilarious. That is,
like, anyway, I've just had I'd never really seen an interview with her before, but I just got a really, I went from thinking, oh, you're pretty, to going, oh, wow, you're amazing.
Oh,
and
she,
her alongside Emilia Clarke was adorable.
Oh, yeah.
The two of them were so funny.
See, she has to have stacks of personality. She has to be charming because there's no way she's gotten as much work as she has on her talents.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are meager. Like, she is not a good actress. She's one of the worst actresses in the world, as far as I'm concerned. She's awful.
Oh, she was okay in, you know.
You can't even think of a movie that she was good in.
I can't even think
Have
of
you
a
seen
movie
that
she
one
was
with
in.
The, with like Colin Farrell? Awful.
Total Recall.
Yes.
No.
It's a terrible film. The Aviator. Like, even like the character she should be good at, which is like Ava Gardner, who also was not a great actress.
Right.
Like, two
wrongs don't make a right.
Just, yeah. But she's stunning. Like, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And her husband's a film director.
Yeah. I can't even really think what I've ever seen her in.
Yeah, she's not. She's never good in anything. She's always
But I can't even think of any movies I've actually seen her in. But anyway, I thought she was.
She's in
I
all those underworlds.
Funny. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen any of them.
She's fine.
Maybe I'll start on the Underworld series and be the Underworld guy. Enter a whole new subculture. Have a whole new following.
No, it's just half-assed vampires and werewolves. It's,
yeah. I'd get to wear, what's that, what are those shiny pants?
Leather?
No, not leather.
Starts parachute with, pants.
No, 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 tight. Like, with a P. Would it start with a P?
A P? Shiny pants that start with a P?
Yeah.
Pissy pants.
No, plump, I don't know.
Jodhpurs. No. I don't know.
PVC.
PVC. Oh, like the shiny.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
the
yeah.
rubber pants.
Yes.
The rubber PVC pants.
Yeah. Yep.
The kinky PVC.
Just me in the corner dancing to a boys. Born. Born to be alive.
Born to be alive.
Imagine that. That'd be a cool night.
Have you seen that film clip ever?
Yeah.
He dances
yeah,
to the yeah, fucking umbrella yeah, for the entire yeah. time.
It's fucking great.
I used to love that song.
Yeah. Man, it's like, and what a fucking great clip. Like, it just pretty much did fuck all, and yeah. it was great.
It was amazing.
And that's all you had to do.
Do you know, one of my facts I discovered
that would be
this
funny
week,
for someone to do that now. You know?
Just Bieber with an umbrella.
That's someone I can enjoy.
Did you know, here's a fact I learned doing my writing my questions this week. There was a Grammy Award for disco in 1980 and never again.
Oh, is that it? I got 1 year.
They got 1 year.
That's it.
It was won by Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, which is perfect.
Oh, yeah. The irony. No, you did not. That's a cracking cover, though.
There you go. Irony times three.
Fuck, that is fantastic. Gloria Estefan. She was the 80s J-Lo.
Oh, I loved Gloria Estefan. You know,
yeah,
a musical,
I say that as a compliment.
There's a musical of Gloria Estefan. Called Get On Your Feet, the Gloria
oh, yeah,
Estefan
no, it,
story.
It goes Gloria Estefan, and then it goes Paula Abdul, and then it goes J-Lo.
J-Lo.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
With those sassy women.
Oh, although Paula Abdul was a choreographer and J-Lo was an actress. At least Gloria had some singing ability to start with.
Oh, yeah.
The other two were like, you know, Kylie Minogue. They were just shoved into a music career. It's like, yeah, you're not the best at doing anything else.
Yeah. But I had such a crush on J-Lo for so long because the first thing I ever saw her in was Out of Sight.
Oh,
she's amazing.
And she's great in that.
Like, she's fantastic.
She is good.
And it's
Have you seen her TV series? She's in like a cop show now with Ray Liotta.
Yeah, I have
There's
seen.
There's the TV show that yeah. the agents she's, are all climbing to get on board.
Yeah. She plays a bad cop.
Oh, she's also it's like The Shield,
yeah,
but pretty,
yeah.
Like
you,
the pretty
you can't
shield.
Call a show about a woman who's angry and can't be trusted. The Shield, right?
No,
you'd have a lot of controversy.
So she's Lady Michael Chiklis.
Yes, Lady Chiklis. That's what they should have called her. Lady Chiklis.
Lady Chiklis. Lady Chiklis. She can hang out. Chiklis, she's Big Food's girlfriend.
Yeah, of course.
She hangs out with George Clooney. Lady Chiklis.
Big Food's always going to be hanging out with a woman with a dynamite name.
I'm Lady Chiklis. Bad.
Oh my god.
Anyway, we were talking about Clever Man. I loved it. It's compelling.
Yeah,
it's exciting. I don't know where the fuck it's going.
No,
I'm disappointed that the ratings have not been any good.
Aren't they?
No, but that's free-to-air ratings. Like, the expectation that anyone's going to watch anything on the night that it's on.
Well, the thing is
that ridiculous.
It's, you know, it's being played in America
yes.
the day of, and I think in the UK the next day or something like that. So
and we only have access to the blurry standard definition ones here, or the iView with the giant made up of 7 pixels.
Oh, is there a better version of it?
Well, there would be in America. They'd have a high def version.
Right.
There's no high def ABC except for the news channel.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
I've thought it's looked amazing anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It's.
Yeah, no, I'm really into it. I'm enjoying it. Just watching it play out. And I found there's been a few moments of actually going, oh,
yeah.
Right, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So that's good.
And you know what? I reckon it's the best Aussie show I've seen since maybe Wentworth.
Oh yeah, yeah, Wentworth's
like,
great.
With just you know, this is like just stamping. This is a new kind of show.
Yeah,
just stamping its identity really, really quickly.
Yeah,
like just that opening scene on the bus.
Yep,
just makes you go, oh, this is a different world.
Yeah,
we are in a whole different world.
Yeah,
this is an amazing. Incredible world. Because it's the same thing happens in Wentworth. Like, you know, you go, it opens when you're going into the prison and there's flashbacks to why.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a girl who's just peed in the corridor, and you just go, right, well, this is this show.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. He's Frankie finger banging someone in a cell. Okay, that's the show we're watching, aren't we?
Yeah, far out, right? That was, yeah, that's a statement of intent.
But that's what I liked about it. And also just the whole parable with what's going on with, you know, refugees and stuff. Like, it's very much, it's saying, yeah, no, this is very plausible.
Yeah.
This is a very plausible thing.
Yeah. And no, I think it's really impressive. I'm really loving
it. And I love the terminology. Like, they've, you know, everyone colloquially calls them Harrys, and they are quite clearly far more powerful and, you know, possibly the next stage of evolution.
Mm.
But they're being called subhuman because that makes them sound less than.
Yeah.
Like, so the media all use a term for them that no one else uses. Like, you know, like some people would call. You know, you'd say, oh, a refugee, and then other people go, oh, queue dodgers, you know,
right,
queue jumpers, or, you know, all that kind of thing. And you just go, oh, it's the same kind of,
yeah,
it's real. I love it. It's really good.
Yeah. I was too tired today to watch it. So the third episode.
I haven't watched the third episode either.
And are you up to date with Rake?
No, I haven't even watched. I think I've watched one or two Rakes.
I feel like this season's its best season.
Well, it went away for ages. Yeah. It was not on for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And I love it every season, but this one has destroyed me. The best line I've heard Richard Roxburgh say is he has a birthday party that he doesn't want, that's thrown for him. So he's there and he's drunk and he's belligerent and he's just being a bit of an arsehole.
Yeah, which is
He goes and talks to his best mate, Barney.
Yeah.
And he's having a go at Barney, saying that he deliberately invited all these terrible people here to make certain he'd hate it. And Barney's just telling him to calm down. And he says this line, he said, "You even invited that brother rapist over there to my fucking birthday." Oh, my God. Oh, man. I nearly fell off the lounge. Rolled down to my door, opened the door, rolled out to the elevator, gone down one couple of floors, rolled out into the street and been hit by a car. I laughed so much. Oh, man. I'm now at a stage where I'm putting Cleaver Green up there with the Don Drapers and the Tony Sopranos and all those great characters. I think the character's great, and I think he is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And everyone in it is phenomenal. I think all the women are really good. Like, it's really good.
That's
Adrienne Pickering is fucking knocking it out of the park.
We have so many talented people in this country, and there's like $8 to go around to make anything.
Mm.
And that's why everyone goes, oh, are they in this again? It's like, yes, because they're good, and there's nothing else for them to do.
Yeah.
There's no... Yeah. It's not like in America where one person gets a TV show and they're stuck with that show for ages and they can't fit anything else in their schedule.
Mm.
It's, you know, you do 6 weeks on a show here, it takes 6 weeks. Mm. Then you're free for the other...
rest of your life.
40 weeks of the year.
You know, Tasma was telling me they used to film 42 episodes a year. Blue Heelers?
Blue Heelers, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
That was on twice a week.
Yeah, I was like, wow. It's like, I said, you alone can go into syndication.
Yeah. Like, after 2 years, it's full. It's crazy.
Like, she must have done like about 130 odd episodes.
Yeah, because she was in it for a few years. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It was crazy. How they've managed to find so many crimes in that tiny little village. I have no idea.
Man,
it's like Midsummer.
It's Twin Peaks. You know, evil just gravitates there. can't escape the gravitational pull.
They need to explain there's a Hellmouth or something there. It's down the road from a prison.
Yeah.
Like if it was like Ararat, you go, oh, yeah, there's a prison there. Of course there's bad people outside.
And just down the road is the poorest prison. Wow, why is it called that? We don't know. But the criminals keep escaping. What? You idiots.
They keep getting out.
it's in the title. Rake has been fantastic. And it's I've been thoroughly happy to, at this point, the three things that I'm watching, you know, religiously, two of them are Australian.
Yeah.
you know.
Are you watching the Games of Thrones?
Yeah.
Did you watch that? That was really good this week.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of complaints. That one. Yeah, I didn't quite get that either. I thought it was all setting things up nicely and, you know.
Do you know, I saw a complaint about, which I thought was actually an amazingly astute choice and possibly a choice meaning that there's much more horrible shit to come, is that every time there was about to be something awful, you didn't see it. It was all in your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Like the, you know, like someone's head comes off and then you just see, like, you hear gushing.
Yeah.
Goo.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like the candle being cut in half. Like just everything was off screen, in the dark, out of the corner of your eye. Like,
yeah.
And you saw all the leading up to it, and then it's like, we're not gonna indulge in that. You're gonna have to imagine it.
Right.
Which makes me think, like, because these things now are done on like a season basis.
Yeah.
It makes me go, okay, so that's episode 8. That means episode 9 is gonna be ugly.
Yeah. And did you notice they didn't that's funny. I had that same thought, and I also was like, and what triggered the thought was that they didn't show you much in next week's episodes. It was like really quick, and I was almost to the extent that I thought, oh, maybe it jumped or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
But
yeah, there was like even when Khaleesi turns up, like it's like you don't even get the money shot of the dragon. You don't get the...
That was a... that bit was a bit poor.
Well, they see that...
Because it was like, oh, here we go. That like says, from the moment.
That says to me, oh, next week is going to be big.
So, yeah, they're obviously... But that scene for me was the one time that I went, ee. But you know what I found fascinating out of everything that was going on in that episode was that strange kind of almost George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez in Out of Sight wave between Brienne and
Jamie.
Do you know what I mean with about Clooney and that? You know, that one where they kind of went in the lift?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're kind of similar in a way of that.
Yeah.
Not really sure what you're...
Like there's something going on, but there's... Is it just mutual respect? Is it just, you know, is it just from the saving it from the bear?
Is it fascination?
Yeah.
You know, just a bit fascinated. This is someone just completely different.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Can see, you know, he, you know, she can probably see a bit of good in him, even though he's, you know, got a big chunk of arsehole. And then he probably looks at her and can't quite work out what's wrong with her.
Or it's, you know, maybe this is...
But there's probably nothing.
Yeah, or maybe this is the first woman he's ever respected.
Yeah, who knows?
Like, you know, you just go, oh, yeah, I respect you as a fierce competitor and an equal, as opposed to, you know, because there's that terrible, terrible rape scene that he commits against his sister at a funeral.
Which I don't know how I felt about that. It felt like a mild misstep in the way that they were getting a trajectory with his kind of almost redemption overseas.
Yeah, but that's what I think it was. I think it was like a reminder. Don't forget, he's an arsehole. Like as much as often as they can bring up, he's the Kingslayer. Like, you know, he's the guy who stabbed his own king in the back.
Mm.
To a modern audience, you just go, well, if he was an arsehole, that's what you do. Like, you know.
Oh, by the way.
We don't have that belief.
I can't remember that story about him being the Kingslayer. Have we seen that?
Or we've never seen it. That was before Robert Baratheon took the throne. So it's Daenerys's dad, I guess.
Khaleesi.
Yeah.
Right.
Or uncle, or whoever was like, whichever one of the Targaryens was on the throne and was mental. And
he was a bad king.
Yeah, he was a bad king, and Jamie saw which way the tide was turning, and he was the leader of the Kingsguard, as he is now. Like he was supposed to protect the king,
right?
But killed the king,
right?
So yeah,
right. So even though he did the right thing,
he's dishonorable because that's the wrong thing.
Of course,
to do.
That sets off everything. Everyone's starting to vie for jockeying for power.
Yeah. So yeah, and it's like, I think, you know, depicting rape on screen is not the right way to go about saying this guy is a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like an easy way out. Like, it's like, oh, what's the most horrible thing we can do? We can have him kick a puppy or rape his sister.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you just go,
whoa. Would it be nice for him to just look at him and go, you look like your mother.
Yeah, or something awful. But then, you know, he's still in love with her. Like, it's, you know, that whole thing is very weird.
Yeah.
That whole twincest bullshit.
Yeah. Become quite overt now. And yeah. It's almost like they're just yelling out, we're doing it. It's really funny.
They threw someone out a window just because they didn't want anyone to know, but now everyone knows.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I thought it was an interesting story beat to have Peter Dinklage be wrong.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Just to make it so, because you don't want him to be, you know, Grant Morrison's Batman in JLA.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of reminds you that he's fallible.
Yeah.
And also that means if we see him in any kind of danger, you know, it doesn't mean he's not off the list.
Oh, everyone's on the list. That's the worst thing about that show.
Yeah.
Like, I was surprised at the ending of the episode. I was like, oh, I thought, you know, her time had come.
Right.
I thought we'd had a story. I thought, you know, because she's had a lot of story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over the entire six seasons.
Yeah.
Like, she's...
There's got to be a moment where Jon Snow and the two sisters line up alongside Khaleesi.
Yeah.
You know, against the White Walkers.
Well,
That's what I would like to
see.
Isn't
the theory that Jon Snow and Khaleesi are perhaps brother and sister?
I don't know. I don't really follow all of the rumors or that.
No. Because there's the thing about the... When Ned's sister was in the tower with the uncle or the king, or one of the Targaryens.
Right.
And she was screaming and he thought she was being tortured, but then the story is maybe she was having a baby.
Right.
And that's why he's always protected Jon Snow and claimed that it was his bastard son, when in reality it was his sister's son.
Yeah.
With the Targaryens.
Right.
So that he also is, you know, because like Khaleesi, he's come back to life.
Yeah.
When he should have died.
Right.
So maybe they're related.
Oh, right.
That's the, who knows? I don't know.
And then that's how it finishes. They get, they win, everything's peaceful, they have sex, and they don't realize they're related.
They don't realize, and then you see
the baby
sister
born, and its eyes are glowing. And dun, dun, dun. And that's the last episode. So, it's all going to start again.
I read Vision, which I loved.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
That creeping, because, it's the Vision... And he's who's made a wife and children in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Because he works at the White House now.
Yeah.
And it's weird, kind of. It's such a weird vibe because, you know, he's still in the Avengers. Captain America turns up.
It feels like 90s Vertigo.
Yeah. But while all that's going on, there's this creepy kind of robot shit happening.
Yeah. It's great. It's something that you want to take your time with when you're reading it. And then I like to just have a bit of a think about it afterwards.
I do feel like it's going somewhere bad.
Oh, yes.
Because in the, like, you know,
without
a
doubt.
Like American Beauty, on the first, like as the first or second page of the first issue,
yeah,
they've told you something that's happening at the end of the story.
Yeah.
And that has not happened yet. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
This is going to get really ugly. Because I thought it was going to happen at the end of that issue.
Right.
But it's... No.
They're dragging this shit out.
Yeah.
This Tom King, he is... I'm so glad that I read a 5-star review for some reason of the Dick Grayson series World's End tie-in.
Oh, yeah.
And...
That's the one you loved, wasn't it? That just single issue?
Yeah, and...
Which is backwards and forwards and...
Yeah, like so I hadn't read anything else. Yeah, but it was a story that told itself from the end to the beginning.
Yeah.
And when you got to the beginning, if you'd been paying attention, it gave you enough clues to realize that the first page, which is actually the end of the story, how that story would pan out.
Yeah.
And in the middle of it, it had a fart joke.
Yeah.
Like a really funny fart joke.
That was an awesome issue. Yeah, that was the one you said, you've got to read it, it's amazing, and I loved it.
Yeah, and then I went back and started from the beginning. I got frustrated because those guys didn't do the last three issues. So
yes. You've been obsessed with that.
So frustrating. Anyway, because I felt like it was going to be one of those boom kind of runs.
Yeah.
You know, like an Animal Man, you know, Doom Patrol kind of thing for me anyway. But, you know, real kind of spy superhero stuff. But his Sheriff of Babylon as well is...
Oh, I've not read that.
Man, it is compelling because he's an ex-CIA agent.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So he was in Iraq and it's a story about, you know, some shenanigans going on in there.
Oh, I want to read that now.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
All right, I'm putting that on the list for next week.
And he's the new Batman writer.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, he's assigned like an exclusive deal with DC.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was reading an interview where he said that he will finish the 12 issues of Vision.
Yeah.
Because that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that he made them include that in whatever the contract was.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like 12 issues of this comic might be enough.
Oh, I mean,
even though
enough.
I love it, I feel like it needs to get me to the end, ruin me, and I can move on with my life.
Yeah, because it's also funny. As much as it's creepy and odd, it's really funny.
It, you know what it is? It's a David Lynch superhero movie.
Yeah, it is. And just like the undercurrent of kind of restlessness, I want to say, or there's also a feeling of prejudice that's going on. Like, you know, it's, you know, they look very different to everyone else who lives in this little tiny suburbia. But then there's people who are fascinated with them and people who hate them and just them not coping.
Yeah.
Which is really, really, it's really hard to read at times. Like, it's. But I love it. It's great.
This is my challenge to the people who make the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And I know you're listening because your ears are everywhere. I want them to really put their balls on the line next and release an art house film of this series.
But
only throw like $60 million at the budget. Like a Deadpool budget.
Right.
And then but make it, you know, make it like make it like Lost Highway.
Well, you get Paul Bettany. Isn't he married to, what's her face?
Yes.
Jennifer Connelly. She could play the wife.
Jesus Christ. That's made me happy.
Because she can do overwrought. Like, that. Like the wife character is my favorite, but I just, I can feel that it's going horribly wrong.
Mm.
Like, week by week. It's just, you go, this is getting uglier as the weeks go on. But yeah, it's a really... Thanks for putting me onto it. I'm loving it.
Yeah, yeah, it's so good.
I've also been reading the old Batman, the new 52 Batman, and I've gotten up to like issue 40, I think, or 41. And the thing, like, I've been enjoying the stories. Mm. Like, they're big and it's monumental and it's you know, kind of amazing. But the thing I'm loving is watching... Because it's the same artist, Greg Capullo, on all of it.
Mm.
And watching his... Like, his art has always been... spectacular.
Yeah.
But watching his storytelling develop.
Oh, right.
Like, his storytelling now is, you know, it's like he's worked out, yes, I can make every picture look amazing.
Yeah.
But what I need to choose is which picture looks amazing.
Right.
As opposed to which picture tells the story. It's like, I love watching an artist kind of evolve.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, like, the classic example is Frank Miller on Daredevil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you're seeing Capullo's art become, you know, you're seeing him... It's like when a comedian does a gig every night for a week.
Mm.
You just work on your performance. You work on your craft and you get better and better and better at it
because
you're constantly doing it.
Yeah.
And because, you know, this is 50 months, like, of the same thing.
Yeah.
Every month, like, he's doing working with the same writer, doing the same kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, you can only improve by doing that.
Right.
So, yeah, that's been really fascinating. Also, because I'm reading it, like, all in one slap. So, I'm watching it happen.
Oh, yeah.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's been the best thing about it. So, I'm looking forward to the next Batman, the next iteration of it.
Right.
And Snyder's writing is like, sometimes I find it really ponderous and annoying, but other times I love it. Like, I love that, you know, I've really missed caption boxes with storytelling in them.
Right.
You know, for a while stories were told entirely in dialogue.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been, I kind of liking that there's, we're almost going back to a different way of telling stories now.
Right.
You know, like an old school.
So they're the rectangle thought boxes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
But they're almost like it seems like it's third person narrative, and then you realize after a while, oh no, it's that character telling the story.
Oh, right.
But
right.
It feels like it is a third person.
Yeah.
You know.
What are you up to now?
Gordon's become Batman now.
Oh yeah.
In the big suit.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, but kind of works in the story that they're telling.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, there was like for a good maybe 12 months of the story was all set before the New 52 started.
Right.
When Gotham was flooded.
Right.
And abandoned. And so it was kind of, it was almost like what you almost wanted to see with Dark Knight Rises, which is that, you know, Gotham being just ruined
right.
for ages. Like the idea of, you know, I would love it if Nolan had the budget and the wherewithal to do an entire TV series.
Just oh, right.
Set
yes.
in Gotham for a year.
Right. Right.
Of them, you know, just isolated and cut off from the right. rest of the world and just how awful it was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you go away and then you come back. And in the movie, and you're like, oh, Jesus, it's been like this for the whole time.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
But, you know, so many stories could be told in that world.
Yeah.
And it's almost like Snyder's gone, yeah, no, I like the idea of that. And it's yeah. gone, let's do a whole year there.
Oh, right. Okay. That's cool.
So, yeah. And like, you know, Batman's like got no, like, he's got no sleeves. Like, his sleeves right. have been torn off. He's riding around on a motorbike just with, you know,
right.
all this stuff strapped to him because he's, you know, got no access to anything. Like, right. they're all isolated in this flooded island.
Right. Okay.
It's kind of awesome.
Oh, that's
and
good.
The Riddler's in charge of all people.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's interesting. I'd probably give it a go at some point. I was reading it. What did I read? What is it? It's Night of the Court of Owls. And then what was the story after that?
Oh, that was the one with Joker, Death of the Family.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really dig that.
It was too full on.
Yeah.
Also, it was around, I think that was around the same time as Batman Inc. ending.
Right.
And they were kind of clashing with each other quite badly. Because then the next story after that was Requiem.
Right.
For like the Damien stories. So, right. yeah. It was, yeah. That I didn't love. But yeah, the Year Zero stuff was fun. Like,
yeah.
It was nutty.
What they should have done.
And then I've just done like another Joker run called Endgame, which was, again, great. Like big picture stuff.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is they keep trying to drag all the other Batman titles into it.
Right.
Like, so it's never, it's like, you know, they can never, he can never get up a head of steam for a storyline because suddenly, well, which issue is going to involve all the other titles? Which issue is going to include Red Robin and, you know, Birds of Prey and whatever is the Batman title this week, Batgirl and Batwoman and
right.
Robin and Nightwing and
right.
Red Hood or whatever he's called. And
right.
Weird Jason Todd character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is what they should have done with Batman Inc. Because they were finishing off the old universe for the yeah. new universe, they should have just said to Morrison, this is what's happening to the rest of the line. Why don't you just finish your story?
Yeah.
And because that universe is finishing, you can finish it exactly how you want.
Yeah.
And I wonder how that may have changed what he did at the end. Because he said that he found the writing of that to be incredibly depressing.
Yeah.
And it is. I think it's a really depressing ending. It is depressing.
Ending. Yeah, I don't know. Speaking of depressing, before we finish, because we've
got to go to my gig.
You've got to go to your gig. How do you, like a week on, like last time we did this, we were going to go and see Warcraft. How do you feel about Warcraft?
Yeah, you know what? Like, it wasn't really for me, but there were some ideas that I liked. I liked that there were two perspectives to both sides,
yeah.
so good and bad on both sides, and I thought that was quite ambitious.
Because I guess that's a thing from the game, because you choose whichever side you want to be on, and they're
yeah.
not necessarily good or evil.
Yeah.
You're just fighting those people because it's a war game.
Yeah, yeah. And
not that I've played the game, so I have no idea.
Right. No, but that seems like how it would work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought most of the performances were pretty good. I felt like it, I'd like to not have seen it in 3D. I felt like the 3D was maybe a bit cheaper or I'd like
it's
to just kind of see it flat
yeah.
and see if it just kind of takes a little bit of the edge off the fact that orcs have these massive teeth sticking out from underneath their lips.
And they seem to be getting into your eyelid.
Yeah, but they all look like Shrek fucking hit the roids.
When
Shrek spent 12 weeks working out with Hugh Jackman.
I've read lots of really bad reviews of it, and I'm like, it wasn't that bad. Are people reviewing it badly because they love the game and they didn't like the movie? Or
I don't know. It's a hard one because there's...
It's not the best movie I've ever seen. Like, it's mindless.
But have you seen when it's done in China?
No, is it huge?
So it only made $24 million in its first weekend, which is not great in the USA. It's made $156 million in 5 days and already overtaken Star Wars.
Jesus.
And what else? But Batman versus Superman. Overtaken
it was financed
both of them.
By the Chinese government, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the Ninja Turtles. That's entirely financed by China. Oh, no, I think this one was too.
I don't know. But anyway, but lots of the highest population who still play Warcraft are in
China.
In China as well. So
I didn't hate
it. So it'll be a hit.
And I haven't played the game, so I don't know what it's like. But I know video games, and they're always pulling tropes from movies and books and wherever they can.
Mm.
So a video game is almost like a pastiche.
Mm.
Like if you played a detective game, it'd be sort of like, well, weirdly Sherlock Holmesian.
Mm.
But without all the, you know, just the trappings of Sherlock Holmes without being really faithful to Sherlock Holmes. Kind of thing. And that's what this feels like. It feels like, oh, yeah, it's got a bit of Lord of the Rings in it. It's got a bit of that. It's got a bit of this.
Yeah.
And then when you feed that back into a film, you go, well, it's going to feel terribly derivative because video games are.
Yeah, by their nature. Yeah.
Terribly derivative.
Yeah. No. I think you said that to me on the night, and I thought about that and thought, man, that's pretty much nailed the main kind of issue. But I thought there were some pretty funny lines in it.
Travis Fimmel's great.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I love Dominic Cooper. I love that it was like the, you know, the two leads from Preacher.
Yeah.
Dominic Cooper and Ruth Negga. They were great.
Yeah. So hopefully it'll be a big hit. And but I'm really looking forward to his next film, Mute, which has been his passion project that he's been wanting to get up for years, and I think is going to be like his Blade Runner kind of thing.
And I really do like Duncan Jones. I hope it's...
Yeah, and since his dad was a massive Blade Runner fan, I think it was his favourite film, you know, it seems kind of right that maybe this is the one that he tackles next. I can't wait to see that. So, and I also saw Finding Dory.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
It's a Pixar. How can it be bad?
it's not Finding Nemo. It's like, no, Finding Nemo is pretty special, though. But it is really fun. And a lot of things made me laugh. And there is a scene where they're in a touching pool.
Yes.
And they show you from... I thought it was inspired. They show you from the perspective of the fish, and you just see these big pink monoliths coming down, going boosh, and the sand going everywhere, and they're scuttling under rocks, boosh, and you're just seeing all these arms come down, and it was, you know what it was? It made me laugh so hard because they were all horror tropes.
Yeah. They were just kids in a pool.
Yeah, but that was, of course, to those guys, that's terrifying.
Is it? Do you find it weird watching things set in water, given that you can't swim?
I used to. It used to bother me. Sometimes I get a bit... someone's drowning. It's like,
oh, yeah. But I feel like that when I see someone with a cat up to their face.
Right. Yeah.
So it just makes like, everyone feels like that when you see someone drowning. That is a natural thing.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But just general water things.
Yeah. I'm not... You know, I don't know if I'd... Like, I think I'm fine if someone's, like, really good in it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I want to watch Jane Fonda in the first half of On Golden Pond.
Yeah.